free. Do you want to know the Bible better? Are you a Sunday school teacher, deacon, or a Christian seeking to know God's Word? Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, who is Charlie Kirk? Now I know you would want to use the term who was, but we're still talking about who is Charlie Kirk. What did he stand for? What did he do? Was he preaching hate? Did he deserve to be assassinated at 31 years of age when all he was doing was talking about our constitutional republic, the need to salvage and save and to deliver America from the Marxist communist hands and standing for the lordship of Jesus Christ? In fact, I've told my wife and others, Charlie Kirk, in many occasions, would quote more scripture, knew more about the Word of God than many pastors that I've seen in my lifetime. I'm thankful that we had the privilege to talk about him in retrospect, realizing who he was and what he did, and yet looking at the ugliness of what is taking place with multitudes in the political realm, professional realm, and other walks of life. We have as our special guest today Congressman Mike Hill, the former District 1 representative for the Florida House of Representatives. Delighted that Congressman Hill could be with us today. We're going to let him finish his thoughts that we started just before the news break. Then we'll open our telephone lines and start with our callers. Congressman Hill, continue the thought that we were talking about just before the news break about those that have the animus and hate. What motivates that? What promulgates that? What are they thinking? Because to me, and I believe to many others that are listening today, it is so far outlandish. It is so far from what would be called common sense. I can't grasp it. I cannot literally put my hands on it and get a feel of cause and foundational rationale that brings it about. What are your thoughts?
Dr. Youngblood, I'm with you. I don't understand it. We saw it, and I'm pretty sure you saw it also, the news clips of students on campuses where supporters of Charlie Kirk were just trying to hold a very simple memorial there on a college campus, and there were students who would come up and trample on a memorial, who would make fun of Charlie Kirk being assassinated, who went so far as to try and reenact the assassination of Charlie. I did not understand that behavior. And I tried to think of it, okay, what if there was someone who was unpopular with me right now? And I won't even mention any names because I wouldn't want to speak that on anyone. But let's say that they were assassinated. It's not like I'm going to jump around jubilant to jump on their memorial. You know, I might say, thank goodness they're not here to torment us anymore. But I'm not going to be jubilant about it. I would be more like relieved. And I certainly would not speak ill of the dead. There is something wrong about that when someone can't defend themselves. And you would denigrate, you would make fun of them after they're gone. There's something that is just irreligious and immoral about speaking ill of the dead.
Absolutely. In fact, Congressman Hill, I'm looking at a major article, says, reprehensible. Texas investigates hundreds of teachers who posted comments after Kirk's murder. At least a dozen. It's wound up now being over 200 teachers in the state of Texas that have been, some of them have been fired, some have been suspended for advocating violence against conservatives and Christians in the aftermath of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, founder of Turning Point USA. It goes on to say in the article, employers have been advised not to keep workers who push well beyond free speech and into incitement. Now, Texas officials say they're investigating over 200 teachers, and this article is a week old, over 200 teachers who have been reported of such offenses. Governor Greg Abbott said the Texas Educational Agency is working to review those statements of violence, including those teachers who cheered in the classroom the murder of Charlie Kirk. And it goes on to talk about that is taking place in that realm. How can an educator in a classroom of students stand and cheer the murder, the assassination of a human being in America, regardless of what stripe politically, regardless of what position of the on either side of the aisle, to cheer the murder, the assassination of an individual in a classroom that's supposed to be for academia? I cannot even comprehend that. Congressman, hold your thought for a moment. I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, good morning.
I'll tell you what. I've heard of Charlie Kirk, but I never listened to him. But I know by other sources that this man stood for truth and justice for America. And he reminds me, I'm going to tell you, he reminds me of Paul also, as Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he would go one-on-one with you. Okay, I tell you what, God made two genders, and you cannot change that. And he'll show them. It's ridiculous the way, but you got so many people now that's behind him, and thank God for that. And I thank God for his wife, the way she spoke up and said, "I forgive him."
Absolutely.
A lot of people, because I would have said, "Man, fry his butt out right now."
Yeah, well, one of the things that we're seeing coming out is the best of the best and the worst of the worst. We're witnessing today the real true colors of so many today in America. And when I find that they're almost 60, yeah, when I find almost 60 people, the Democratic legislators, almost 60 of them, did not even want to recognize Charlie Kirk in a kind of not a memorial service on the House floor, but just a recognition of Charlie Kirk and who he was. So I'm thankful that we see God taking evil, wicked event and turning it into good. And I say that because the Turning Point USA, they've already had now, as of yesterday, over 62,000 inquiries from students wanting to start Turning Point USA student clubs on their school campuses, both in high schools, grade schools, and in universities and colleges. I'm thankful to see that. So God is going to have the last. God's going to have the last laugh.
Yeah, can I ask you one more question?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Like the Lord said, if the seed is not planted, it cannot grow. He messed around and made it grow.
Absolutely. That is exactly a good statement. So, Kenneth, thank you, brother, for your call. Thank you for your interest in your conversation. We can keep praying, keep looking up the realization and the recognition that God is still on the throne. Congressman Hill, one question that I think is perhaps pretty heavy, pretty weighty on multitudes of minds today. I've toyed with that. I've analyzed it. I've heard it discussed on television, on radio, and online. And that is the question. these hundreds and hundreds and yea thousands across America, including educators and others, that are condemning Charlie Kirk and are praising the shooter, and they're being fired, suspended, or challenged in some way, pointed out. Are we interfering with free speech by doing that? Can you explain to our listeners, not splitting hairs, but what is free speech? And if an employer fires somebody or suspends them for what they're saying, is that an interference with free speech? How should we view that?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I think you have to look at it from several different angles. First of all, what is free speech? Free speech is an inalienable right. It's God-given. It precedes your birth. You have the right to be able to speak and to be able to, what our First Amendment was all about, was to be able to criticize our government without being retaliated against because of what you said, unless it is something that will incite a riot or something like that. But simply criticizing the government is what the First Amendment was all about. Criticizing the government is protected. Now, when we talk about free speech in a society, of course, there are, again, limitations on that. As we all know, you can't libel or slander someone, or you can't yell fire as a joke in a crowded theater. Now, when we talk about how these educators, who are, by the way, in positions of power, they are in positions of authority and influence, and they can determine what grade a student is going to receive in a class. So that puts them in a position of power. And for them to openly celebrate hatred, to celebrate evil, they should not be in that, in those positions, especially in that position of power. And the universities have a right to remove them from their position because it's not the government that is doing this.
Yes.
It is a college or university that is doing it, that is removing them from those positions. Now, when we look at the government, I understand that Attorney General Pam Bondi is looking at some of these instances of hate speech that might be within the government and considering some action there. I don't think that that is appropriate when here's a government employee who is saying vile things about Charlie Kirk. Well, that's one thing. But when you're talking about criticizing the government, that is protected speech. And I don't think the government should be in the position of trying to regulate what speech is, but private or businesses certainly can determine who they want to be associated with as an employee.
Yes, and I'm looking at an article that says network political analyst suggests Charlie Kirk deserved to be shot, and it's MSNBC, and you perhaps already heard this. Matthew Dowd suggested that Charlie Kirk's rhetoric made him a natural target for violence. Dowd argued that Charlie Kirk's hate speech inevitably led him to be shot. Well, of course, the man was fired from MSNBC, and I think rightly so. When you have high-profile individuals like that, like some of the late-night comedians, as they're called, I never watch any of them. It's pure garbage, generally. But like Jimmy Kimmel and others that have been relieved, and now Disney relieved him. Disney owns ABC, relieved him of his late-night show. That's him, speaking of Kimmel. And now they put him back on. But fortunately, those subcontract organizations that are under ABC's banner across the nation, overwhelming majority of those stations, so we're not putting him back on. I believe that it hurts the brand, if you will, of a company, an organization, or in this case, the networks that allow that to continue. I believe that there needs to be a reckoning, And as you said, the free speech is something that freedom of speech that the government that we have. But when it's individual, private-owned companies, corporations, and entities, they have the right to say what are the protocols, what are the practices, what's allowed and what's not allowed in their under their banner and their name. Let's change the direction for just a moment. There is a somehow, some way, a mindset that we should just leave it alone. And the event took place, that is the assassination. But what is frightening to me, Congressman Hill, is the fact that we have so many different beliefs today as to what took place on the campus. My question is, and it's a rhetorical question, was Charlie Kirk assassinated by a 22-year-old atop a building with a rifle, firing a shot some 200 yards, hitting Charlie Kirk in the left side of his neck, splitting the carotid artery, and blood pouring out? In about 3 minutes, he had bled out. Or was this a conspiracy? Now listen, I'm going to set the stage and let you respond to it. I'd love to hear your opinion and your thoughts. I'm looking at an article that's a pretty large article. The title of it is The Questioning of Conspiracy Claims. Conspiracy theory says there were two shooters. The one on top of the building wasn't the real shooter. He had dummy bullets in there. He thought he was, but he was a pigeon for the CIA. The real shooter came from behind Charlie Kirk and hit him in the right above the right ear, and it came out on the left side of his neck, and that's what happened. Another one says that there's the bullet ricocheted from coming from the back, ricocheted, made it look like it was coming from the front of Charlie Kirk, and all kinds of conspiracy theories out there about what happened. Would you walk through that in your mind, your thoughts, and clarify some things as you see it? How should we view the conspiracy theorists out there? And I understand, I've not followed all of them, I understand there's several dozen conspiracy theories out there as to what really happened. So what really happened versus what we're being told by some? And listen, I've talked with some people that really believe it, really believe that he was not shot by that 22-year-old shooter on top of the building, because this, and I've looked at several of these online, and they have animations of what they say took place. They have supposed professionals, that's professionals on weapons and weaponry and ammo, et cetera, that's saying this, and the other. How do you work through that for the general public to understand?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, what I know is that the FBI, Kash Patel said he is going to investigate this and get to the bottom of it. That much we know. So we'll see what actually happened. Now, I can only go by what I saw. And unfortunately, I saw the video, millions saw it, shortly after it took place. My phone pinged, I looked down at it and said, oh my goodness, and where he had gotten shot. Now, do I believe that that 22-year-old acted alone? I do not. I think he was part of a larger plot that put all that together, that orchestrated that. But I do believe he was the one who did it. And the reason I say that is because his father, as I understand it, his father was the one who turned him over to the authorities.
Right.
Knowing that he is going to face the death penalty. Now, why would a father do that if he wasn't the one who did it? Why would he put his son forward to face the death penalty if his son indeed did not do that? So because of that, I believe he was the shooter, but I don't believe that he acted alone. I think there were others that were definitely involved in that.
Well, I think that will be the end result, that there are others that funded it. But here's the point with this young man, as Erica Kirk called him, young man, 22 years old. I'm not going to give him the credit by calling his name on the broadcast. He hated Charlie Kirk because Charlie Kirk talked about morals and ethics and values. Because Charlie Kirk talked about the fact that God gave only two genders. And this, quote, young man, the shooter, the assassin, the murderer, was living with a transgendered person, one that was a man that was transitioning to female, as I understand dozens of articles on that subject. So the sin that he was in, the lifestyle that he was living, was being confronted with the truth of the Word of God. And as a result of that, he had animus and hate and resentment and rejection for Charlie Kirk and all that Charlie Kirk stood for. Because Charlie Kirk, as I understand, all that I've seen and heard, all that I've read, Charlie Kirk stood for faith and family, and he stood for morals and ethics and values, he stood for our flag, he stood for our constitutional republic, he stood for defending America and the American way of life. And as a result of that, he was hated by major segments of society. In fact, when you look at it, you see this sick and twisted U.S. senator says there must be consequences for people spewing hate and celebrating Charlie Kirk's murder. If you're celebrating the political assassination of a man who was exercising his free speech, you should be held accountable, you should be fired, and that is the beginning of the end. It's full stop. This article continues. In the wake of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, U.S. Senator says there must be consequences for those who are celebrating the murder of a Christian champion and a conservative giant. Senator Katie Britt, Republican Alabama, who sits on the Senate Judiciary Committee, blasted the vicious hate and celebrations of Charlie Kirk's killing, saying it is absolutely disgusting, the rhetoric that led us to this moment, calling President Trump a fascist, calling him Hitler, and calling others fascists that follow President Trump. So my bottom line is, Congressman Hill, is that we have this spewing of hatred and animus from the left side of the aisle, as it's called, politically speaking, where those that are Trump followers and Trumpites, if you please, those that are Christians and conservatives and are standing for the Constitution, standing for truth, standing against the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, standing against abortion, then we, i.e., I'm putting all of us in the package, as conservative Christians, we're considered to be racist. In fact, AOC said that Charlie Kirk was a racist. President Trump's called a racist. He's after his speech at the UN, he's now called Islamophobic and a racist. With that being said, that is the mindset that's spewing the hate. So what is the answer, in your opinion? What is the answer to tamp down the heat, the temperature, the hatred, the animus, and the rebellion that we see taking place in America?
Well, Dr. Young, but first of all, I don't believe the what we're hearing some people say, that we need to tone it down on both sides.
Right.
That both sides are guilty of this. That's not the case.
That's right.
Not at all. When they asked for a moment of silence for Charlie Kirk on the House floor, several of those on the left, several Democrats, violently and openly yelled out, "No, no." Just for a moment of silence to respect the dead. And so they would not do it. So it doesn't have to be toned down on both sides. Now, what's going to be the response to that? The response cannot be, well, we're going to fire you. We're going to lock you up. Everyone who says something that's hateful, that's not the answer. The answer is we continue to speak the truth in every situation, and whenever evil is confronted with the truth, it will lash out like that. And there's nothing that we can do to stop that. That's part of the wickedness that is in mankind. We'll see that they will lash out at the truth. That's why John Huss was martyred, because he spoke the truth. Charlie Kirk was murdered because he spoke the truth. Mm-hmm. You'll see several that are murdered because they spoke the truth. And if all we can do is condemn those who speak the truth, we can find guilty those who commit violent acts. But the best part, I believe, is to simply continue to speak the truth. Let them rage, let them gnash their teeth, but we just continue walking in the truth.
Absolutely. And I must say this, and I when I say it, I rejoice literally, because watching the memorial service And you correct me if I'm wrong, but in my lifetime, and I'm still under 100, I've not seen any political party with, as the at the memorial service, President Trump, Vice President Vance, and many of his cabinet heads, all present, all speaking, and all focusing on good, God, values, and ethics and morals in America. And I think, and I've said this several times since, I think the speech by Marco Rubio probably rings the bell as the top speaker at the memorial service, where he started out giving an overview of biblical truth about the creation of man and what God did and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he gave the plan of salvation more clearly than any preacher that I've heard in the recent years, and then said as you looked up and it said, Charlie, we're going to see you soon. I rejoiced in that, but yet we find on the left and the Marxist media raging that was not a memorial service, that was simply a political rally for President Trump. How do you respond to that for the listener?
Well, I think they're wrong when they say that it was a political rally for President Trump. It turned out to be a huge memorial, larger than any of them imagined it would be, not only those who were in attendance, but those who saw it around the world. And as you say, Dr. Youngblood, millions heard the plan of salvation. Millions saw Christianity on display. Millions saw Erica Kirk say, I forgive him. Mm-hmm. And then we see, even on the other side, President Trump said, I don't forgive them. I hate them. And he said, now maybe Erica can soften me up or something. He said, but I hate them. So if it were, no one says that at a political rally.
That's right.
Now, so it wasn't a political rally. That's what the left saw. And that is perhaps what it turned out to be, but that was not the intent. God took what was evil and instead turned it into good for his glory because the gospel was preached.
The gospel was preached, and in these final closing moments, Congressman Hill, Pastor Robert McCoy gave the gospel of Jesus Christ and opened for an invitation for people to come forward or to stand up and say yes to Jesus Christ. An invitation for salvation was given at that memorial service. It's amazing to me that anybody in the right mind could condemn what we saw in that memorial service. And it goes back to my fundamental thought today. God can take the most wicked, evil, heinous act and turn it for good. We understand that from the scripture. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for your joining us on the broadcast today. We're looking forward to what God is going to do in the days ahead. But thank you so much, and God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
The enemies of Israel have hit hard. It's